All right, everybody. Welcome to the Toddcast, your V for Vendetta, Guy Fawkes Day edition of the Toddcast, because it is November 5th, which I totally forgot about until this morning when I saw it all through my feed and stole a post. It's one of my favorite books. It's one of my favorite graphic novels. It's one of my favorite movies. I honestly don't know why I haven't got up and bought the mask, but whatever. Anyway, I am your host, John. With me, as always, is Bo.
How we doing, everybody?
And our special guest and friend of ours, letterer extraordinaire, Justin Birch.
Let's go light on the term extraordinaire there.
Lettering master?
Let's just go with letterer person.
Okay. Letter person. All right. So we have a couple cool events coming up. So this week is the Secret Warehouse sale up in our Elwood City store. And Bo, you actually got to go up there and see how much crazy stuff is up there.
Blow it up there for sure this time.
Right. So that's good. So people should know to go check that out. It is $1 on Friday, 50 cents on Saturday, and a quarter on Sunday. So that is cool. Go check that out. The weekend before Thanksgiving, which last year was our local comic shop day sale. We are, since they moved local comic shop day to the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we are calling this the Hunker Down for the Holidays sale. It's pretty similar to what we did last year. So it's 20% off all wall books, all case books, all graphic novels, 60% off all regular back issues in the green fronted boxes. And then all of our dollar books are half price. So Justin, make sure you take notes. Oh, you'll just get a flyer when you pick up your books. Never mind. I know you'll be like, ooh, 20% off wall books. So that's coming. Local comic shop day is, as I said, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So all of our dollar books that day are going to be half price. And they're actually going to stay half price till the end of the calendar year, starting on that day. So come in there, you know, dig a bit. It's going to be a good time. It's a Wednesday, so it's not super crazy. And then Black Friday, all of the stores will be open 10 to 7. And we are doing 25% off a $50 or more purchase on qualifying purchases. Some stuff does not count. Dollar books, since they are 50% off, will not count toward that threshold. Booster boxes will not count toward that threshold. There's a couple other small things. Check with your local store about which things are and are not part of that sale. If you don't want to even come out and deal with bustling people, even though, you know, we've been kind of stuck inside for a while, you are more than welcome to go onto our website, ndcomics.com, hit the little shop button, and you can shop each and every one of our stores. So all of the graphic novels, the new wall, the toys, the pops, and the board games and the RPGs are all in there. You can get all of that stuff. You can pay for it and just pick it up at the store, or there's a mail it option and it just calculates the shipping. We ship it out. No big deal. Boom. There it is. Happy holidays. Good times. and we use Gemini mailers, just so you guys know, for those of you who are curious about how we ship stuff. We are very good about being professional about how we ship things so that you get your stuff in a fashion that doesn't suck. We don't want your stuff to get ruined. We would never do that to ourselves. We're never going to do that to you. So make sure you check that out too. All right. Comic talk.
Hey John, don't forget, for local comic shop day, don't let people forget about the different variants, like the local comic shop day variant stuff they come out with every time that year.
Do you remember which ones are this year? Can you talk a little bit about that, Bo?
I can, maybe. the DC Future First, I think that's what it's going to be called, Future First. I saw Lumberjanes. There's something of Killing the Children special cover.
There's a Spawn.
There's some really cool ones. Yeah, there is. And for the life of me, I can't remember all of them. There's quite a few.
There are a lot. There's a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
There is, yeah.
Bo didn't want to tell you that because he was just going to buy them all himself.
So it doesn't look like they're doing any of like the goofy special ones. Like it looks like you can get all the ones you want. So that's kind of nice for people where they, you know, don't get excluded that day from stuff where they only send like one or something like that. So
right.
So kind of cool. Right. Unless I'm mistaken, I could be about that. I don't know.
Oh, good. We do have some people watching. So if any of you guys have questions for anyone, feel free to put them in the comments. We will get to you as soon as we can. All right. So comics. My first book this week is John Walker, U.S. Agent number one from Marvel.
It's a cool cover.
The cover was good.
Yeah.
The book's kind of weird because, like, last I remember John Walker, he didn't have any arms or legs. And they don't really address that in here. They just address that he got sent to an old S.H.I.E.L.D. Like shell company in West Virginia, and they blew it up. Like the residents of the area blew it up. And then there's this crazy part where he keeps ordering these pizzas, and depending on how the pizza person responds, he just throws them in their basement and makes them open the pizza box before he gets in to make sure it's not a bomb. And it gets to an older guy who ends up totally kicking his ass, and kind of becomes his sidekick, who he keeps calling Bruce Lee because he's an older, just an older dude who kind of resembles Bruce Lee. But there's like a funny scene where they're like, they're watching what I think is some kind of either fan porn with Angel and Jean Grey, or maybe like the X3 movie, maybe with that Angel. But it's very awkward. He keeps going through shields. So apparently they're not as good as the original Captain America shield. He kind of keeps freaking out and seeing his sister. Who, you know, it was like a little girl at the time. And then the crazy twist at the end is the person who shoots down his plane is his sister. And she's all grown up and is also like a black ops type person. So I'm kind of interested to see the rest of it, but if you don't know US Agent at all, you're probably not going to want to read the rest of this book. You're probably not going to read this book at all. But since I know who he is, since I know John Walker's character, I'll probably at least check out issue two, but it was not a great first issue for me. So
I think people will be kind of, I didn't read it myself. But I think people will be kind of interested in it. Cause isn't he supposed to be on the Winter Soldier, Falcon Winter Soldier?
Yeah. Yeah.
Never know. I don't know. So
cool.
All right. My first book, La Diabla from Albatross. It's Eric Powell. Eric Powell written, Eric Powell artwork. So that makes it just awesome in my book. I'm not super familiar with her. I'm pretty sure she was an existing character in that universe of his, like with Goon and everything like that. And but I didn't know much about her, and basically they go over her backstory. She's got like six backstories because she's just a legend of killing people, like cartel members or bad people, whatnot. She kind of gives you a vibe of you ever saw that movie Columbiana?
Yeah, I love that movie.
That's kind of the way it is. She's like Vendetta, you know, whatnot. So, but basically, why I touch on this because it's like a big story that's going to be starting, and they're only doing it in a graphic novel. Is she's going to be in with, it's called Lords of Misery with Goon and everybody. It's like a big crossover of like his worlds and stuff like that. I thought that was kind of cool. I'm looking forward to reading it. So that's why I picked this up, and you know, to find out more about her. Artwork's awesome. Writing's cool. So,
right. So it's a very Albatross universe thing.
Yeah. So no Tank Girl in it yet. So that'd be kind of cool there, but no, but just like Eric Powell created stuff. So it's kind of neat.
Justin, don't be afraid to hop in and talk about any of these books if you were like, oh, I wanted to check that out. Or
so. You know, the thing is, I'm really bad about reading comics. I mean, I'm not bad at buying them. I still buy them. I just don't. You know, the more you work in comics, the less you read. So there's
Yeah, I got to that point right before the pandemic where I started to not read as much. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I should probably catch up on that really big pile. And now my pile's decently large again. So, but I think doing this show helps me move to read some of those. So that's pretty good. My second book comes from Ahoy Comics and it is Happy Hour number one. So this was an interesting thing. So basically, like, these people live in a world where it's illegal to not be happy. And I can't tell if they originally altered people's brains to not be anything but happy. Because the way they talk about it kind of later is that it's almost they're brain degraded. So like there's like a part where like people are like obviously should be sad and they are not. But the one guy gets beat up by the cops for it, suffers a head trauma, ends up waking up in a psychiatric hospital, goes through all this stuff, and they're tasing him and they're being happy and laughing about it. And he meets this girl and she was like a Olympic like karate person, and she like hit her head off the floor too much and she woke up like that now too. And they then find out that they're kind of doing experimental things to try to alter their brains to be more happy, including but not limited to electroshock to the nuts, which they talk about a little bit. So they basically put one guy through this series and he was kind of like I always have like that type of like the weird Jesus-y kind of figure in the loony bin where it's like the one guy everybody follows. They all kind of, they put him through it and he comes out being happy and telling a bad joke and being happy. And then they're like, we need to get out of here. So I was pretty kind of like, okay. So this book was, it definitely drew my interest. I kind of dug it. But in the back, there's a ton of stuff coming up from Ahoy that's awesome. Like there's a second coming volume 2 called Only Begotten Son coming out in December. Looking forward to that. Ash and Thorn, Recipe for Disaster, Billionaire Island's coming back, and Wrong Earth Night and Day number 1 coming in January. So there's there's a new High Heaven coming, looks like.
That'll be.
Yeah. So all kinds of things. And I'm super excited about most of that. So, but overall, I gave that book like a 3.5 out of 5. Like it didn't suck, but it was definitely, if you're not into indie stuff, you're probably not going to like it.
That's why you got to try new things. So
always.
All right. My next is going to be like a combo piece here. The new heavy metal books, they are Darkwing, and then we got Savage Circus. So they are kind of like, they're the size of like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Last Ronin book that we talked about last week. So they're kind of opposite sides. But I wanted to go over them because their heavy metal's been like kind of pushing themselves like a bigger line of comics. They always had like a few every now and then, but now they're seem to be coming out with like some monthly titles, and I've read them all so far and they've been actually pretty good. Darkwing's been by far my favorite so far. Basically how a people have survived in space are basically their planet is attached to a spaceship and they just keep on trying to find like a place suitable. So, but really cool books and whatnot. And then even more important, they are $2.99 a piece. So they're even cheaper, nicer quality than some of the Marvel books and whatnot. So just cool to have a nice comic, something new to read for $2.99. Just, it's kind of neat. So, but highly recommend them. Try them out. I think they're nice. So,
all right. That sounds good. Here is my, what I'm going to call it, the hit list. This is the other stuff I bought this week to check out. So Bo can go through the rest of his too, if he wants to after this. But here's some books that I'm picking up to check out that I feel that everybody should too. So here we have Nora Incarnations number 4 by Casey Pierce from Source Point. That's the last part of the second volume. That's pretty exciting. Dropping comics on the floor. Crossover number 1 from Donny Cates. Also from Donny Cates, Thor number 9. Not from Donny Cates, but also from Marvel. Captain Marvel 23. Walking Dead Deluxe Edition Color Series number 2. Definitely going to check that out. I talked about number 1 a couple weeks ago. And then The Boys, Dear Becky, number 6. Very excited about that. Love Russ Braun's art on that. And obviously, I'm a big fan of Garth Ennis. So... Bo, what do you got for your hit list for the week?
I ain't going to show my stack because I always buy a stack of comics a week. So, I did read, I will critique your stack with you first. Thor, I did read Thor, was really good. I like this new story they're doing. It was really cool. And then the only other thing, Crossover, I did read it. Have you read it yet?
No.
I won't even spoil for you. I won't spoil for anybody else because it was highly anticipated. We'll see. I will give it a second, but I don't know. Maybe I just took it weird, but I will do issue 2. So we'll see. Cause this book's been like, people couldn't wait for this thing to come out. So yeah. So that's it.
All right. Now we're going to move on to our special guest and super good buddy and road trip friend for some of us, Justin Birch. Some of Justin's awesome work are Snake Eyes Dead Game from IDW, Road of Bones for IDW, Sea of Sorrows, which is, I believe, coming up, right?
Is it this month or next month? It's coming out within the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then Mad Cave, you have Pantomime, Dryfoot, Stargazer, which apparently was kind of a weird sleeper hit. It was out for like a week, and then all of a sudden everybody wanted it. Hollywood Trash, Villainous, and then for Vault you did Bleed Them Dry, which is awesome, and then also Vampire the Masquerade, which you know, has got to be weird to letter it if you've played the game back in the day.
You know what I never played the game, but what's weird is that it seemed like all of a sudden I was getting a bunch of books that were vampire themed.
Yeah.
And you know, just not from Vault, but from everywhere,
right?
So vampires are in right now.
It's true. I just did Vane the other day. I don't know if you've saw that book.
Is that the Scout book?
Oni.
Yeah,
or Oni. Yeah.
There is a Scout book though that I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it either. No, it's you're right. It is like the era of the vampire again. I'm kind of like waiting for a new version of some Anne Rice novel to come out. Like, maybe we'll finally get Memnock the Devil, which would be super good, to be honest. That's just me. So how are things in Wheeling?
I work from home, so I never really went out before all of this started to begin with. So it hasn't really change the way that I run things on like a daily operations wise. I do miss conventions.
Yeah, me too.
I will say that.
Me too. So actually I found one of my convention shirts today and wore it because I miss conventions. So we'll see how it goes. So speaking of conventions, the last time you and I went to a convention together or even saw each other, I think for almost outside of the store, was we went to Keystone Comic Con year two. So for those who don't know, like, Justin lives in Wheeling and I live in Pittsburgh, so it's very close to get where we need to go to drive to Philly for like the 6-hour drive. So we we're driving and all of a sudden it starts monsooning, and I mean it is like so bad a lot of cars are pulling off the side of the road, and we're driving in Justin's Prius, right? It's like a Prius. Yeah
all, you know, I don't think Priuses are known for their ability to drive in extreme weather conditions, so we're already dealing with that,
right? We were like, we're gonna take your Prius because it gets better gas mileage. Yeah. That was the main reason why we took the Prius.
It was like oh, you write off mileage, you don't write off gas, okay, let's take the Prius.
Yeah, exactly. So we drove out there, and all of a sudden, like, for some reason, we just think that it's really, really loud. We're like, man, what is that sound? Like, it sounds like, do you have a flat tire? Like, it's not flipping, like, or doing anything. And we're like, maybe we should pull off at the next roadside rest and see what's going on. So we pull off in like Somerset, I think, right? It was like the one on the big mountain. And I crawl under your car, weirdly stopped monsooning at this point, crawl under your car and hear part of like the wheel well, the plastic wheel well cover has like fallen down and like kind of gotten caught under your tire and has been just like been eaten by the road. So I'm like, well, do you have zip ties or anything in here? And you're like, no. So we're like, shit. So not only do we have to find zip ties, we have to find a socket wrench, a socket set. Did you know you can buy both of those things at a roadside rest on the turnpike?
Turnpike rest stops. They have everything you need. Roy Rogers, bathrooms, zip ties, socket sets.
Coffee.
Got you covered.
Yeah, it was nuts. So we just kind of did that and fixed it up and off we went. But it was like the most weird con like travel thing I've ever had to deal with.
You know, my favorite part about all of that was the fact that I didn't have to get on the ground to fix it and that you did it.
Yeah, well, luckily you had a piece of cardboard, so I wasn't like on the ground, but because I was like, I'm gonna like mess up my knees on this terrible gravel road that like whatever parking lot, I guess.
Yeah, so I've got a cut open, like a cut flat cardboard box in the trunk of my car, but no zip ties and socket wrench. I
can't. We're halfway there. Halfway, yeah. There. So, but it was a fun time, and you know, I miss getting out there and doing those things, and I cannot wait till the world reopens and you and I can go drive around in your Prius again. Oh, and then we'd like drive around downtown Philly, which was also fun. So yeah, which, you know, it's just nuts, because if you've ever been to Chinatown, it's not fun to drive around. It's just really tight and very, it's not good for small cars. Especially when you have to try to find parking at like 1 a.m. when we got there. So, but that was good.
It's an adventure. That's what conventions are. They're an adventure.
It's true. And then another one, I remember seeing you, were you at Baltimore when you did the comics experience, or comics exposure, comics experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like panel with Vito and Greg Pak and all those guys.
No, I was probably at Baltimore. I've been going to Baltimore, I think, for the past 3 or 4 straight years.
Okay.
But I wasn't on the panel.
Oh, okay. Okay. Cause I remember being like, wow, I know a lot of people that have gone through this program. So I know like, in Chicago, you did a bunch of like after party things with those guys too. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, how, and kind of give your origin story of how you got into lettering comics, because lettering isn't exactly like something like no one wakes up in the morning and is like, you know what, I want to be a letterer. You know, they all want to be, you know, like Jack Kirby or Stan Lee, but nobody really wants to be like, no one immediately thinks of being a letterer, which is why I find it so fascinating and cool that you are a letterer and how the process actually works. So why don't you tell everybody kind of your origin story and then and how you got into working on some of these bigger books?
So my story started with something I think a lot of people can relate to. I had like a regular 9-to-5 office job that I hated. I wasn't happy there. It was just a job, right? It wasn't a career.
Right.
And I, at that point, probably close to 7 years. And, you know, at that point, you're starting to wonder, okay, is this, at what point does it go from being a job to being my career?
Right.
Which is something I was actively trying to fight. I did not want that to happen at all. So after enough bad days in a row at work happened, I came home, talked to my wife, and, you know, we sat down and we're like, all right, you're not happy here. What makes you happy? And I said, comics. Comics makes me happy. So what we talked about was, well, maybe you should get into the creating aspect of making comics. So I broke down every single aspect of making comics, because it's a very assembly line type process now. So I looked at every single part from writing all the way down, and I got to the lettering part, and I thought that that's what I would be best at, because my bachelor's degree is in graphic design and my favorite classes in college were on typography. So once I made that connection that basically lettering is graphic design and elements of really strong elements of typography, I knew that that's what I wanted to do.
And typography, typography is the study of font, right? Like it's different it's kinds of fonts.
The art of type.
Yeah. Like the design of letters of type.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure I understood that part.
So once I knew what I wanted to do, it turned into a how do I do this type of thing. And they, you know, there are books out there that you can buy off of Amazon, and I bought them, and there are YouTube videos out there as well. But the thing that I kept finding and going to was the Comics Experience class, which breaks down every single aspect of creating a comic in like a class type format. So, you know, it was like a 6 or 7 week class on the basics of lettering. And I was taught by letterer Dave Sharp, who's got credits with Marvel, with DC. I think he letters all of Valiant stuff right now. Yeah. So, I mean, if there's a major publisher out there, Dave's worked for them. So that was a great teacher to learn from.
That's awesome. And we actually just talked about him when Matt was on from Valiant. And he had done the Aftershock book, We Live. And then in the back, I noticed it mentioned he was on in Valiant. Matt happened to be on the show that night. We talked about him, and he was working on the Exo book that we were talking about. But he's done a lot of great stuff. So, sorry, yeah. Continue on.
No, you're fine. So, you know, I took the class, 6 or 7 weeks. And then from that class, you get like a, you know, 12 pages that you letter that you can show off as your, in your portfolio. So as soon as I had those 12 pages, I hit the road. I went to every convention that was within a 4 or 5 hour drive of Wheeling and just talked to as many people as I could. And that's what I did for, probably the first 2 or 3 years. While I still was doing the regular 9-to-5 office job, like I just didn't make a clean split. I was doing both.
I'd say that's a lot of shows from a 4 hour drive of Wheeling. Cause you have Columbus, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, like DC. Charleston, DC area. You're not quite to New York, but you probably went there anyway. Mm-hmm. Oh man, that's a ton. That's a ton.
Yeah, that's just major shows. Like, you also had smaller regional shows like Gem City and Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
Love
that show.
Tricon in Huntington. Like, there was a lot of opportunity from where I live to get to a lot of shows. All I had to do was put in the time driving and have a very understanding wife who was okay with that. We'll stress that.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh no, she's very understanding about everything. I've a lot of love for her, as friends. So how did you, one of these shows, I know Broken Icon is a small publisher around the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that where you got hooked up with those guys, or were you like one of the founding guys with that? Cause you were on with them pretty early on.
Yeah, there are two publishers that I say gave me my first, let's say three publishers that gave me my first real big break. Broken Icon was definitely the first. They're the ones who, at the time, owned and ran Tricon in Huntington, West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So Tricon was my first convention that I went to looking for work. And I showed up there, and they have because it's their show, they have a huge display area where they've got all the creators and all their books. And I just talked to every single one of them. And it just so happened that the one person I talked to the most, his name was Nick, who has done covers for IDW now and stuff like that. And he's also their production guy. And he saw my work and he realized that I understood like bleed and trim areas and where things can go on a page when you're working on them. And, you know, how that relates to when the page is printed. And he basically told Eric, the guy in charge of Broken Icon, you need to bring this guy in. He knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah, I knew Eric before Broken Icon. And I may have actually been at that same show. Was that the first time they were in the arena?
No, I think I saw you there the second year I went.
Okay. I've only been there the 1 year, and it was the year that it was in the first year in the arena, I believe.
Okay.
So, yeah, cause I love getting down that way. Cause I love hillbilly hot dogs. I'm just if anybody's in Southern West Virginia near Charleston area, in Huntington, very specifically Huntington, go check out Hillbilly Hot Dogs. It will change your life. Actually, I was just talking to somebody in Bo's store yesterday about that because they were like, oh, I gotta go down to Charleston. I'm like, Hillbilly Hot Dogs. Anyway, so what was your first book with Broken Icon then?
I think it was a book called The Man in the Kitty Coat.
Okay.
That was 5 years ago. I have not looked at the pages since. I'm terrified of looking at them, what they look like now. They probably look like trash.
Well, I mean, you got to start somewhere, right?
So. Well, no, I'm not saying like the art is bad. I'm saying like my own personal work in it.
Yeah. I'm saying is you got to start somewhere. So
right.
Like you can't look at it and be like, oh, this is like the Mona Lisa, because then everything else is going to be crap. You know, you got to be like, oh, that, you know what? I screwed this up. I got to get better. As a musician, like that's how you practice, like, you know, and letterers, artists, like writers, it's all art. And the more you practice at it, the better you get. So that totally doesn't surprise me at all. So you said there were two publishers. What was the other one?
During my first year, I found a convention in Detroit, Michigan, Motor City Comic Con. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I, we made the drive up there. Also, what we would do is we would make these one-day trips. So we would wake up and hit the road by 4 or 5 in the morning, get to the convention, walk around all day, and then drive 4 or 5 hours home. I cannot stress enough how understanding and wonderful and loving my wife is. I will take every opportunity to do so.
Is she like in the corner of the room watching right now, and that's why you keep doing that?
I don't know if you guys can hear. She's actually upstairs giving our daughter a bath.
Oh no, we cannot hear that. But
okay,
but that's good. So
So at that convention, it was the first time that I had met and talked to Source Point Press.
Nice. Did you see everybody there, or did you mostly focus on like Travis?
So at the time, this is really before SourcePoint really truly blew up. At the SourcePoint booth was, I remember talking to Josh Warner,
okay,
the art director, and he said that the person that I should really talk to is down at this booth called the Michigan Comics Collective. It was just a group of comic artists from Michigan that had come together to try and make comics.
Mm.
And that person just happened to be Travis McIntyre. So I went down and I talked to Travis, and Travis did his Travis thing, you know, where the, oh yeah, just email me, you know.
Right.
And I sent that email, and they hired me for a job. And then they, for some reason, just keep hiring me to do books.
That's awesome. That's awesome. There, I like a lot of SourcePoint stuff that comes out of them. I remember meeting those guys. Oh man, Pittsburgh Wizard World, like the first year, I think, because I remember like looking over, like walking through the room, because it was a ghost town, and be like, oh, I've never heard of these guys. And I was like, oh, I run six stores, like blah blah blah. You know, are you guys in previews? Actually, I might have been five stores at the time, but whatever. And they were at that point, I think they were getting ready to go into previews. So, and I don't even remember which books it was back then, because it was a while ago. But ever since then, I've fell in love with a lot of their work. I like a lot of their creators. They've been guests at our show. I don't think Travis came. I think Levi came last time.
Yeah, I think Levi. It was Levi. Casey was there.
Yep.
Stan.
Yep. Oh, and L was there.
Yeah, and L.
Yeah. But L's kind of like they're, for those of you who don't know, they also have a gaming division, which I think they have now all merged under one big thing, which is awesome because it probably makes their lives a lot easier. But they're also the guys that put out Gloomhaven right now, mm-hmm. which is awesome. And, you know, and there's a bunch of supplementary books. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's like a freaking huge box. Like.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if they themselves put out the game, but I know they are putting out the comic for it.
They put out the supplementary stuff too.
Okay.
So, and I'm pretty sure I saw a SourcePoint logo, or a Deepwater logo, because it's Deepwater Games. I'm pretty sure I saw the Deepwater logo on the box. So, but you know, they're a bunch of great crazy dudes from Detroit, and I remember I saw them at a show in Altoona. They had left, they had packed up and gone. And I'm like sitting there lugging out eight tables worth of long boxes into the van, finally get going. And I pull over at some roadside rest on the turnpike. And every freaking time it's the same one that they stop at. Like they're finishing up eating and I'm just getting something to eat. Cause you know, that con mentality of don't eat where you had the con, get on the road first for a while. So, but it's a good time. They're good dudes. And then you did a lot of other work. I know you've done a lot of Action Lab stuff. Like you did Princeless, you did Miraculous Ladybug, which, you know, that is stupid huge. I can't tell you how many, like even on Halloween night, driving home to my house from work, I saw like two or three ladybugs. And I was like, oh man, that's awesome. So that's kind of cool. I also really enjoyed the Princeless book. All right. So let's see here. What other kind of cool projects do you have coming out? Like anything cool you want to pitch that's like orderable or just out now that people can go and into the store and pick up?
Yeah. I'll end with the one that I know Bo wants to talk about.
Okay.
We'll end with that one. So, you know, if you can, I don't know if you still can, you should at least pick up the trade when it becomes available. Definitely check out Broken Gargoyles from SourcePoint Press. It's one of the few books that I've worked on where I feel like every single aspect from the writing all the way down to the editing meshes up. And the sum is greater than all of the individual parts. Like every single aspect of that book complements each other. It's some of the work that I'm the most proud of. That's so awesome. Check that out.
It's really cool. The steampunk aspect of it's so kind of cool too. So
yeah, absolutely. It's a good read, even though it's written by Bob Sally. you should still check it out. I'm also really excited about all of the current crop of Mad Cave books that are coming out that I'm working on. You know, Dryfoot, Pantomime, Hollywood Trash, Villainous. Each single one of those books, I feel like I really hit another level creative wise. So I'm really, really proud of that stuff. Especially Pantomime, where the whole book is kids who are deaf communicating. So you can't do that in That's a sort cool. of traditional way where you have normal balloons and they're pointing to characters' mouths, or I mean, all of the communication is happening via their hands because they're talking in sign language. So that was a creative challenge that I don't want to sound fool of myself, but I feel like I did really well with it.
That's awesome, because like that would be a weird challenge of how many panels do they use to actually do the sign language versus how do you convey that without using, I'm assuming like you may have still used some words somewhere, but you know how to do that in a way that made sense for the book, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you and I kind of had a discussion about this when we talked about the Martian Manhunter book came out like a year or two ago. How
the Steve Orlando book?
Yeah. And how like the lettering in it was, it almost looked like graffiti in the wall and on the walls in the book. Like it wasn't traditional word bubble and text. And I didn't actually understand that was a way to letter until you explained it to me. And I was like, oh, that makes lettering way harder than I thought it was, which then gave me a lot more respect for what you do. And all letters in general, because you know, it's probably the most unsung part of a comic, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's the, oh, he's just putting in words. You know.
I like to joke and say that I'm all I am is a glorified copy and paster.
Wow.
See, I can say those things about myself, but if anybody else said it, I'd probably be angry.
Right. No, I mean, like, there's definitely an art to it, because you got to figure out how to fit the words in there and then fit the bubble the right way to make the art still work for the page mm-hmm. and the panel, and it all still be one fluid thing and not get too crazy and get out of sync with yourself. So like there's a lot of thought process that goes into this. Mm-hmm. While it may be some of the stuff that can be done the fastest, it's probably one of the craziest thing. Cause like, so do you just like, I guess like, what's the process? Do you normally like, do you just type out into a bubble and then just try to like fix the bubble to the size that you kind of want it to be? Or is there like a science to it? Like, I'm just asking, cause now I'm actually legitimately curious about lettering. So
there is an absolute science to it. Well, my process, which is probably slightly different than, you know, everybody else's, is I will grab that text or that dialogue from the script, and I will just kind of place it on the side of the page. And then once I've done that, like for the entire page, I will then shape the or stack the text in a way that will work for the page, because, you know, a lot of that's based on space. Mm-hmm. And there's a rule called the diamond rule. And this is me getting way too deep into it. I know no one cares about
diamond. I'm legitimately curious. I want to know.
So, I mean, the next time you read a comic, if you look at the balloons and there's enough space around, you're going to notice that the shape of the text inside the balloon is a diamond. Well, go ahead.
Do you mean it's going to be like a square diamond, like DDP?
Yeah.
okay. I didn't know. Or can it be like sideways diamond style?
I don't have any books laying around here. Where I just like,
I guess, yeah, yeah, I can see that. I mean, this is a very, very wordy book that I'm looking at, because I'm looking at Dear Becky, and I'm just trying to look at this the way it's done.
Oh, I can't tell where my camera's at.
So it's, I see it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a diamond.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get it in that shape that you need, and then I take the balloon and I shape the balloon around the text and then draw the tail and off we go.
That's awesome. Oh man, my mind is blown. I'm not even lying. Like, that is all the
day, every day. That's
that is the coolest thing I've ever, I think that's the coolest thing I've learned in a long time. Thank you for that, Justin.
That's why I'm here.
All right. Continue talking about things you have coming up.
And then I know there's stuff that I'm forgetting to talk about, but I apologize for that. But I know the one that Bo wants to talk about is Sea of Sorrows from IDW. And it's coming out later this month, I think.
It's got to be within the next couple weeks here.
Yeah, so it's Sea of Sorrows. It's by written by Rich Doig and illustrated by Alex Cormack, who all three of us worked together previously on the other IDW series, Road of Bones. And you might know Alex's work from Sync. If you are reading the Comics Tribe books, he's illustrating Sync. And of course, Rich is writing Wailing Blade. We got Sea of Sorrows coming out. And the way that I like to pitch Sea of Sorrows is, if you read Road of Bones, the way that that was written and the way that Alex drew it, Road of Bones made you feel cold. Sea of Sorrows will make you feel alone. Whoa. Because the story takes place right after World War I. So it's a post-World War I story, and it all takes all involves deep sea diving.
That's cool.
It's like, just something you don't hear about every day. It was just such a cool concept when I first heard about it. So
yeah, the last book I remember that even involved deep sea diving was Low. Do you remember that one from Image?
Yeah.
The art in that book was real crazy. Like, that was really, really good.
It was a trippy book. Who did that? Was it Rick
Remender? Remender, yeah.
Yeah. So, but.
And then there was Underwater Welder.
Well, that's also cool. I mean, but, that's a beer. So that's
its own thing. Yeah, it's totally, totally different. So, no, that's good. So what you're basically saying is, stop at your local comic shop, ask about CSRO, and it's early enough that they should be able to order it and get a couple extra copies.
Yes, I believe so.
It's still time. I don't think FOC's passed for it yet.
Okay, so there's at least a month. So
maybe, I don't know. I can't remember. I remember seeing it pop up the other day for something, but I got quite a few copies coming in because I had a few subs already for it. So people was just interested in, heard about it, and. So it looks like it might be pretty big for you guys. So
it's like Justin's entire family just came in and asked for it.
Yeah, it's been.
Thanks, just, Mom.
It's been talked about already. People are thinking it's going to be pretty good. So
yeah, I've got the first two issues are done. I've got three that I need to work on this weekend. I don't want to overhype it because
you're doing a good job.
I generally really enjoyed Road of Bones, but this just seems different. It's its own, you know, its own sort of beast, so to speak.
No, that's cool. I know we had a lot of people that enjoyed Road of Bones. A lot. I remember. Yeah. I think we had to go back to reorder at least twice in most of the stores.
So. Took off. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, congrats. That was cool. Weren't you guys up for like a Ringo or something for Road of Bones or an Eisner or something?
Not that I'm aware of.
I thought so. My bad. Well, it should have been. There you go. maybe if we ever get back to normal and we get one, get a cool award for Three Rivers, maybe we'll put you up for one. That'd be cool. So, but, you know, it's always good to support our hometown guys. All right. So now I have three random questions. Not really random, but they're kind of random. So the first one would be, if you could work on any book that exists at all, like, what is your dream book to work on, and how many issues would you work on it?
X-Men.
Yeah, X-Men. Absolutely. X-Men. I would work on it until they fired me, until they forcibly removed me from the book. It would be X-Men.
So I guess so what X-Men's doing right now is real nuts, because they have like all the weird fonts, right? Mm-hmm. I guess that actually leads into my next question. My next question is, what is the craziest font to work with? And then I guess the question would be, how do you deal with alien languages with that? Like they do the Krakoan symbols in X-Men. Like, can you just download that and learn it? Or like, how does this work?
So, I mean, I'm just speculating. I have no idea how Marvel does their stuff. But I'm assuming Chris Eliopoulos, who is the head of a lettering studio called Virtual Calligraphy, mm-hmm. who they're the ones who letter all of Marvel's books. He probably created a font that has that, or someone there created a font that has that alien language in it. And that's probably what they use on the books. That's just me assuming.
Okay.
And probably what they're doing is they get the script, they copy that line, which is probably in English. Mm-hmm. And when they drop it in on the page and change the font, it probably does that automatically.
So it's like you think it's like a Marvel alien language Rosetta Stone?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess, like, what's the craziest font you've had to work with? Are you like Wingdings?
I can't even, I don't even know where to, because every book is different. So you got different styles of fonts that.
I'm not saying what was the worst to work with. I'm saying what was the most challenging to work with. Like, you don't have to hate it. You can love it. You can love the work that you do. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, what was the most challenging that you have felt that you have worked with?
I think the I'm going to change the question.
Okay. Because
I don't know how to, I don't think I can answer that one and say that the most challenging book that I've worked on so far up to this point in my career was probably Broken Gargoyles. Because you had a character who, you know, it's also a story that takes place post World War I in a diesel punk type world.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a character who speaks through a diesel punk respirator system.
Right.
So they basically sound like what Darth Vader would sound like if it was diesel punk.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
more like Bane.
Yes, movie Bane.
Yeah, movie Bane. Yeah.
So the challenge was, how do you represent that on the page so that the audience reading it hears it that way as well?
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with a balloon style that's got like metal jagged teeth and kind of gears and grindy like. The challenge was, I did it once. How do I do it again?
Oh,
because there were weeks in between, like months in between when I did issue one and issue two.
Uh-huh.
So when I went to start on issue two, it suddenly became a crap. I don't remember how I did this. And once you remember how to do it, it turns into a, okay, how do I do this quicker?
That is pretty much what I expected as an answer. So that's cool. All right, my last question, and then I'll turn it over to Bo if he has anything, is this is more of a, because I know you. So what do you love more, comics or hockey?
Man, you're making me choose between my kids. Who's my favorite kid?
You know, that was actually the answer Ron Friends gave me when I asked him like what his favorite book he worked on. He's like, I can't choose because they're all like my kids, and it's like picking a child. So
okay, so yeah, I'll start out with that but I will say I only have one kid. If I had a second, I'm gonna be that parent who absolutely has a favorite. I already know it. I'm willing to admit it. So with all of that being said, I think that I can absolutely 100% pick what I like more, hockey or comics. And I think I'm going to go with hockey because I've had lower lows and higher highs as a fan of hockey than I have been as a fan of comics.
That is a good answer.
So the emotional roller coaster, it's higher and unfortunately lower with hockey.
Right. I mean, and you have like at least for your area, you have the super crazy experience of like you have like the Wheeling Nailers, who are like the double A or triple A team, right, for the Penguins. Yeah. And then you can drive an hour and see the actual Penguins, or you can do like 4 hours and go to a Blue Jackets game, or like we live in an area that's very filled with hockey. Like we have, like you're not far from Detroit, you're not far from Buffalo, you're not far from New York, DC. You know, like there's a lot, and you know, obviously, you know, go Pens, but
the greatest day of my life, it wasn't the day my daughter was born, it wasn't the day that I got married, it was the day that I went to Pittsburgh, caught like a 12 o'clock face-off Penguins game, came home, and then went to a 7:30 face-off Nailers game.
That's awesome. My favorite hockey experience had nothing to do with being at an arena. It was I was working at KB Toys back in like 06 or no, that's that, it'd be like 07 08, and Pascal Dupuis came in with his family and bought a ton of stuff. And I was like, man, like me and my assistant manager were like, man, this guy looks real familiar. Like we can't quite place him because he had like this big beard, and it was during playoffs, but he was dressed like he was like in a Fall Out Boy video. Right. Like he wasn't in his Penguins gear, which is how I almost always saw him. So, you know, he comes in, he puts a bunch of stuff on the counter, and he hands us his card and says P. Dupuis. And we're both like, oh, so he leaves. And we're both like, oh my God, that was so cool. Oh my God, we have like a fangirl moment. Comes back because he forgot something. And we were like, hey man, can you like just sign your name on this piece of paper for me? Like, is that cool? Like, you know, we're big fans, da da da. And he was super cool about it. And he sat there and talked to us for like 10 minutes. But I was also like, you know, I can hang out with this guy, like, because his wife had like electric pink hair and like tattoo sleeves and piercings. I'm like, wow, your wife looks like my wife. Like, so that was my and the fact that I was born on Mario Lemieux's 16th birthday. So I share a birthday with the man. But yeah, once we get back to normal here, I will totally go to some Nailers games with you and some Pens games. It'll be a good cool. time.
I love minor league hockey because they do all kinds of crazy events to try to get people in the arena. And I love Dollar Beer Night.
Yeah, I love. I know. yes, it was a good time. The one time I saw you there, I think that was the same night. It was, wasn't it also like a comic book night?
Yeah,
like it was like Marvel night or something. I had set up a table there and was like doing raffles with like a big spin wheel, and that's where I saw you, and I was just like, wow, I've never seen Justin this trash before. And you weren't even that super trashed.
In my defense, I've been way drunker, and also it's Dollar Beer Night. You're supposed to.
Exactly. And I'm not judging at all because I do the same thing. Except I have an hour drive home. You have a 5 minute drive home.
I bum a ride from either a brother or a wife or so. Somehow I always manage to not have to drive, which is
the way you said that. It sounds like you just find some random dude's wife And you're like, hey, you're a wife. I need a ride home. Ah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, kind of regret
live in the
that.
Area.
I think I know you.
Do I know your husband?
Yeah. You know, the thing about Dollar Beer Night is that you only get four beer choices, and it's Natty Light, Keystone Light, Icy Light. Oh, I can't remember. Bush Light.
Yeah. So none of those are beers that I would probably buy on my own anymore.
Yep.
So college John totally would have been all about that.
Yeah, so you have to drink them quick. That's how they get you.
Yep. Yep. So actually, speaking of drinking, I've been drinking Jim Beam Apple and Pepsi today. And I also bought a Captain Morgan Apple last night that I'm going to try out a little later. I really enjoy both of those spirits. And I was like, ooh, Apple. So anyway, Bo, do you have anything for Justin while we're here?
No, we talked about Sea of Sorrows. That's what I'm just looking forward to. So I want to see how that turns out, whatnot. And I'm really enjoying, I love the first issue of Hollywood Trash. So really hoping to see where that goes. That was funny as hell. So
One of my favorite things about Hollywood Trash, besides of the fact of like how over the top it is, is that the entire story from beginning to end all takes place in one day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one day.
That's one really crazy, crazy day.
Yeah.
All right. So if people want to follow you and find your work, do you have a social media? Do you have a website that they should go to?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Justin Birch. I'm also part of a YouTube channel called Two Brothers Comics, where we do, or I shouldn't say we, they do like comic reviews and books that are coming out this week and all kinds of content like that.
Mm-hmm.
We also do a Saturday night show every Saturday night about 9:30. It's called The Comic Book Babylon. I know it's an original name. So you can just stop by there. We kind of talk about the books we picked up that week. There's always a top 10 list, and we usually always end up hating each other by the end of the night.
Sounds pretty much like the Toddcast. All right. So, all right, cool. So next week, we have Rachel Freeman coming on. She is a Aftershock retailer representative for the area. She's a super awesome. Another West Virginian who transplanted to Pittsburgh. She's great. And then the week after that, we have Frank Gogol. That one will be at 8:00. He is the gentleman who has written Dead End Kids and Heroin Number One. Dead End Kids Volume 2 is coming out, and he wants to talk about that for a little bit. So that'll be cool. I know Bo's going to be super excited about that.
Yep, sure.
Yeah, Frank, awesome. Yeah, Frank's a good guy. Like, I've never had any issues with him. He's always been good. He's always been a really cool dude. He loves to support local comics, which, you know, comes to my reminder every week of make sure you guys go check out your local comic shop every week. It doesn't matter if it's us or not. Support local comics, support local economies, shop local. If any of those stores have a website, check that out too. It's a cool new way to shop your stuff and get your stuff before you even have to walk in. You can guarantee it. You don't have to miss it. It's right there. again, 7:00 next week with Rachel, 8:00 the following week with Frank. Then we're going to take off a week for Thanksgiving, and we'll come back for a couple weeks in December. Bo and I just have to discuss our schedule for that month because of Christmas and New Year's. But that's pretty much it. Thanks everybody who watched the show and is going to listen to this on Spotify or the website. iTunes, as always, is like 5 weeks behind, so don't try to really do that. thanks everybody. I am John. With me again is Bo.
Take care, everybody.
And our special guest, Justin. Thanks again, Justin.
Thanks. All right. Fun.
All right.